Praise the Lord, everybody. Has God brought anyone from a mighty long way? Has God brought anyone from a mighty long way? Somebody said, when I look back over my life and I see where I used to be and see where I am today, if it wasn't by the grace of God, come on, am I preaching to myself? If it wasn't by the grace of God, hallelujah, He brought me from a mighty long way. I can hear bullets flying. I can hear bombs dropping. I can see dead bodies. He brought me from a mighty long way. I don't know where you've been, but God has brought me from a mighty long way. That's why I rejoice. Because it could have been me. Good God Almighty. Woo! Oh, Minister Holly, slow down. You didn't even read the scripture yet. How dare you? I say He brought me from a mighty long way. Hallelujah. This is the loud church, y'all. We get loud up in here. We get loud up in here. Bible said, make a joyful noise. Hey, somebody's thinking about what God has done for them. Somebody's thinking about the goodness of God. That's why they're rejoicing. It's not no show. They're going crazy because of what the Lord has done. Oh, God. Hallelujah. 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 Let us look up to heaven. Heavenly Father, we thank You today for Your love and mercy. We thank You that through the storm, You made a way for us. We thank You, Lord God, that we have the capabilities of our limbs. We thank You this morning that Your breath is still residing in us. We're gracious to You. We're grateful to You, Lord God. We pray right now, Lord, as we prepare our hearts to hear from You, You will speak to us. I pray, God, that You will hide me behind the cross, that Christ may be seen and heard, that the very message that's spoken today will not be of myself, will not be to glorify me, but to exalt You. We thank You, God, for young people, for Your heart rejoices over young people. We thank You for this Youth Sunday that we celebrate, for these lovely young people that You've given the heart, the desire to want to come to Mount Olive Baptist Church to worship and exalt Your name, Father. We pray that the anointing of God will continue to be poured upon their lives. We pray that the Holy Spirit will fill them, Lord God. We ask, God, that You will bless their household, Father God. We pray that You will raise up teachers, raise up men and women of God, may raise up pastors, raise up doctors, raise up lawyers, Lord God, out of this fold that will declare the glory of God. We thank You. We bless You. We pray for each one of Your sons and daughters who are here this morning. They came to hear from You. So I pray that You will speak to them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, somebody give the Lord a hand clap. He's wonderful. He's wonderful. Hallelujah. First, I want to give honor to Reverend Jackson for giving me this opportunity once more to be up here. And he totally decreased. I thought he was messing around, but he left his seat and went down there. Not only that, but I was in his office this morning getting ready to come down. And one of the nurses came up there and they said, "Which color cape?" And he said to me, "Pick one." I said, "Whoa." So he been decreasing before he even came up here. He was decreasing from upstairs. So I give honor to God for Reverend Jackson. Let's just celebrate him and the work that God is doing in his life. God bless you. And we're so thrilled to have each and every one of you here today. One of my brother, he's not my biological brother, but he's my spiritual brother. We connected from the first day we met. Pastor Charles Taylor, he's here today with a member from his church. Grateful to see you. Oh, man, that's a story to be told another day. Hallelujah. But this morning, I want to talk to you, and I want to speak to you from a passage of scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 30. And then we are also going to go to Romans chapter 2. We'll look at some verses in Romans. So Deuteronomy in the Old Testament and Romans chapter 2 in the New Testament. All right? I'm going to wait for you to get there. When you get there, you say amen. Deuteronomy chapter 30. And we're going to start reading from verse 6 through 10. And the word of the Lord reads as follows. It said, the Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants so that you may love him with all your heart and with all your soul and live. The Lord your God will put all these curses on your enemies who hate and persecute you. You will again obey the Lord and follow all his commands I'm giving you today. Then the Lord your God will make you most prosperous in all the work of your hands and in the fruits of your womb. The young of your livestock and the crops of your land, the Lord will again delight in you and make you prosperous. Just as he delighted in your fathers, if you obey the Lord your God and keep his commands and decrees that are written in the book of the law and turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Come on, turn to somebody and say, that's good, that's good, that's good. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Now we're going to skip over to the New Testament. And we're going to read in the New Testament, Romans chapter 2, verse 28 to 29. The word of the Lord reads as follows. A man is not a Jew if he is only one outwardly, nor is circumcision merely outward and physical. No, a man is a Jew if he is one inwardly. And circumcision is circumcision of the heart. By the Spirit, not by the written code. Such a man's praise is not from men, but from God. Amen? Amen? Amen. Just for a few minutes, I realize that the clock is ticking and the snow is outside. But just a few minutes, I want to talk to you on the subject or theme of where is the mark of God on your life? I want you to ask the person that's sitting next to you. And just reinforce to that brother or sister that's next to you and ask them this question. Where is the mark of God on your life? Where is the mark of God on your life? So many people throughout the world, they say we love God, we believe in God. And some of you sitting here today, you have made the same declaration. God, I love you, and God, I believe you. No doubt that's a declaration that you're making from the depths of your heart. And I hope you mean it with your every being. But today, I have a question to ask you. And the question I want to ask you is, where is the mark of God on your life? You say that you love God, but where is the mark of God on your life? You see, I grew up in a village in Liberia, West Africa. And in this village, we had a tradition that when a boy or girl would come of age, they had to go through a procedure. A procedure in which they were welcomed into the community. And many times, the little boy or little girl would go into a sacred bush, a sacred forest, a sacred place where no one who was not initiated could go to. And when you went to this place, there you were taught how to be a young man. There you were taught how to be a young lady. And at the end of your training, what would happen is that they would take a sharp object and go on your back and begin to mark your back. Begin to place little marks on your back to show that you have been initiated into the tribal community. Come on, turn to somebody and say, where is the mark of God on your life? Where is the mark of God on your life? And so, you see, the sacred place that these boys and these girls went to, you could not go if you didn't have that mark on your body. You could not go because you had not been initiated into the fold. Well, today, I came to tell you that God also have a mark. He also have a mark that he needs and he wants to have upon your life. That when people come across you, they will see that you bear something special. They will see that you bear something from heaven. And what that thing is, it's the mark of God. Come on, ask the person next to you. I'm gonna keep on asking, where is the mark of God on your life? Young people, years ago I had a friend by the name of Bobby. And Bobby was a very, very nice guy. I mean, this guy was exciting. But before Bobby came to know the Lord, Bobby became part of a gang. And when Bobby was part of the gang wore certain colors, they wore certain beads, and Bobby dressed just like the gang. And it didn't just stop. The gang had a special tattoo that they wanted Bobby to get. And Bobby went ahead and he got the tattoo. Because he wanted the mark showing that he was part of the gang. Well. Thanks be to God that even though Bobby had a form, he had a form of a gangster. He looked like a gangster. Yes, he had a tattoo on his body that said he was a gangster. But yet still, deep down in his heart, he was longing for something more. He was longing for something more. He was longing for Jesus. And the years went by. Finally, Bobby came to a place where he surrendered his life to Jesus. Bobby gave his life to Jesus. And he began to walk with Jesus. And you see, when Bobby left that gang, when Bobby left his gang, he became part of a new gang. When Bobby left that clique, he came and joined a new clique. Oh yes, Bobby came in. He joined the followers, the brothers and sisters. He joined the army of the Lord. Amen. Come on, somebody clap your hand and tell Jesus, thank you. And so I was excited. I was excited about the tattoo especially. Because you see, the tattoo, it looks so cool on Bobby. I mean, when I was growing up in Teaneck, New Jersey, Volte Park used to be my second home. In middle school, I was at Volte Park every day playing basketball. That's where I met him, playing basketball. We were playing basketball, and he was ministering, and I was ministering. He was sharing the gospel. I was sharing the gospel. So I was playing basketball at Volte Park, and I love playing basketball so much. And I admire the basketball players. And you know the cool thing about the basketball players? They have a lot of tattoos. Uh-huh. So when I was coming up, I wanted a tattoo also. I mean, I took a marker and I designed my tattoo. Yeah. I put my fake tattoo on my arm. I drew it. And in my tattoo, I drew a cross and I put a soccer ball on one end and a basketball on the other. I had my tattoo all laid out. And I know some of you young people, you sitting over here and you thinking like, I want a tattoo too. I know some of you guys, you're thinking about having that. And I dream about having a tattoo. Because I wanted to be this NBA player. 5'4", 5 feet, whatever, I'm not that tall. But I want to be an NBA player. Have my tattoo ready. Have my tattoo ready. But there's something unique about people who have tattoo that means something to them. You see, when somebody have a tattoo that has a meaning, they place it in a position where it's visible. They place the tattoo in a place where people can see because there's meaning to the tattoo. Some people will put tattoos on the body of loved ones that went on. And some people will be crazy enough to put a tattoo of their boyfriend or girlfriend on their bodies. I ain't that crazy. My sister came to me one day. She said, my boyfriend put a tattoo of my name on his. I thought she was playing. And I saw this joker's shoulder
And he had a tattoo right there of my sister's name. Oh, not me. Not doing that one. But you see, the point of the emphasis of tattoos is when you have those tattoos, you put it in a position where it's visible, where people can see, because there is meaning to it. You see, God has a specific mark that He wants people to see upon your life. God has a mark that He wants to be visible upon your life. God wants for when you walk out and when you interact with people, for them to see His mark upon your life. Where is the mark of God? Where is the mark of God upon your life? Where is the mark of God? The mark of God is the circumcision of the spirit. It's the circumcision of the spirit. The Bible says the Lord your God will circumcise your hearts. God's tattoo is not merely outward, but it starts on the inside. Circumcision of the heart. Circumcision of the heart. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 verse 4, For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitude. The word of God is sharper than any double-edged sword. So today, God wants to circumcise your heart. And you're asking, well, Minister Holly, how is God going to circumcise my heart? Well, the Bible says that the word of God is sharper than a double-edged sword. And so when you begin to take in the word of God, when you begin to read the word of God, when you begin to understand the thoughts of God, when you begin to understand the movement of God, it begins to circumcise your hearts. It begins to cut the things that are on the inside, begin to change your life. Somebody said, preacher, how do you know if a heart has been circumcised? Well, when your heart is circumcised, when you disobey the word of God, you feel a little guilty. You feel guilty because your heart is circumcised and your heart is now sensitive to the word of God. You see, some people that go out there and what they do, they read the word of God, they come to church, they come to service after service, but yet still, when they're caught up in sin, when they're caught up in sin and sin is ongoing, there is no sense of guilt. You see, when the heart is circumcised and you do something wrong, you feel that guilt. I know I felt it, man. I was coming up in middle. I've been trying to follow God since I was in middle school. I've been trying to just live for God. And sometimes I will mess up and I'll fall. And in those times when I messed up and I fall, I feel so guilty. Because my heart was sensitive to God. And those of you who are out there, you know when your heart is sensitive to God and you do something that goes against His word, it bothers you. You see, your heart is circumcised, they live a life of worship. Your lifestyle is worship. The things you do is to bring glory to God. The things you say is to bring glory to God. You don't just live and do whatever you want to do if your heart's been circumcised. When your heart is circumcised, you live to bring glory to only the living God. Amen. When the heart is circumcised, you're in a marriage relationship with the Lord. You're in a connected relationship with the Lord. You're in a covenant relationship with the Lord. You declare for the rest of your days. You will serve Him for the rest of your days. You will live for Him for the rest of your days. Your life will be committed to Him. Why? Because your hearts have been circumcised. Your heart has been changed and transformed. Come on, turn to the person next to you and say, where is the mark of God on your life? A circumcised heart is a change in character. Somebody said, places I used to go, I don't go no more. Things I used to do, I don't do no more, because there's a great change. There's a newness that has come about in my life. You see, when your heart is circumcised, you have a change in character. Yeah. You can tell me that your heart is changing all the things you used to do back in the yesteryears. You're still doing the things that you used to do back in the yesteryears. And you're telling me that your heart is circumcised. You see, when your heart is circumcised, all things are passed away. And all things have become new. Because your heart has been circumcised. You read about the character of Jesus. You take a look in the Synoptic Gospels and read about Jesus, the things that Jesus did. And you read about him and you say, for Christ I'm going to live. I'm going to follow after Christ. And you begin to walk in the footstep of Christ. You begin to talk like Christ. You begin to have the heart like Christ. You begin to have the compassion like Christ. Why? Because there's a new character that is birthed in you. Because your heart has been circumcised. Heart has been circumcised. The Bible speaks of two circumcision. The physical circumcision and the spiritual circumcision. In Genesis chapter 17, Bible talks about the physical circumcision. In Romans chapter 2, Bible talks about the spiritual circumcision. First, when you think about the physical circumcision. The physical circumcision is a painful experience. Come on, just nudge somebody next to you and say it's a painful experience. It's a painful experience. I had an opportunity to go to Cape Coast, Ghana, West Africa. And I visited a slave castle there in Cape Coast. And when I went to Cape Coast to the slave castle, I walked around and it showed me where the enslaved Africans used to be kept. I went down by the riverside. And when I went down by the riverside, there was a door that said, the door of no return. Why so? Because when the enslaved Africans left Africa for the Middle Passage, it was true that some of them would never return. And so the door said, the door of no return. But what I also learned is that when the enslaved Africans were brought to the shore, there was a burning iron. They were branded. In other words, they took a hot iron and they heated the hot iron. And after they heated the hot iron, they put some oil on the iron and they would stick it on the enslaved Africans. From the accounts that I read, it said some of the enslaved Africans would cry out in pain because of the pain that they were experiencing. And one after the other, they were branded. They were branded with letters. They were branded with characters. Why? Because the Europeans, the people at the time who were enslaving the Africans, wanted to show that these enslaved people belong to this group. What a painful experience. What a tragic experience. And so, I say this to let you know today that when you think about physical circumcision is a painful experience. Sometimes we expect to come to God. And when we come to God, we expect to not to experience any pain. But you see, when you come to God, you have to experience the physical circumcision. You have to experience the pain of letting go of those things that you used to be attached to. Some people, when they come to God, they have to feel the pain if they've been connected and attached to the bottle. They've been drinking and getting drunk for a long time. They have to feel the pain of letting go of the bottle. You see, when you come to God, He does a physical circumcision in your life. And a lot of times, that physical circumcision is a painful experience. But you see what God has, He takes away the wine bottle from the drunkard and He gives the drunkard a new kind of wine. He gives the drunkard a new kind of wine and this wine is called Holy Spirit. It's called Holy Spirit. You see, when you get high on the Holy Spirit, can nobody pull you down? When you get high on the Holy Spirit, can nobody turn you around? You're being moved and pushed by the power of Jesus. Come on, tell somebody, do you have the Holy Spirit? Get some Holy Spirit. I said, what I need vodka for? What I need Hennessy for? Hennessy and vodka got nothing on the Holy Spirit. You want to get drunk out of your mind? Get drunk over the Holy Spirit. He'll take you high. Some people, they come to God and they've been addicted to drugs and they've been getting high for a long time. High off of marijuana, high off of cocaine. And when they come to God, it's a painful experience. It's a painful experience for them to let go of the drug that they've been addicted to. I gotta tell you, my brothers and sisters, there is no greater drug than HG. Mm-hmm. You think marijuana, cocaine have something? It can't touch HG. HG is no joke. You get a dose of HG and you're done. Just a dose of HG, you done. And so, it's a painful experience for you to let go of the drug that you've been addicted to, but it's an eternal high. Eternal high that God gets you on. And it's the Holy Ghost gets you high up in the sky. That's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Ghost, it will get you high. You'll lose your mind. Somebody said, why are you so crazy? Because I'm high. I'm high. I'm high over some HG. HG. Y'all get that new stuff, HG. Just come back to MOBs. We got a lot of HG here for you. Amen. But it's a painful experience. It's a painful experience for you to let go of those things that you've been so attached to. It's a painful experience for you to let go of that girlfriend, that boyfriend that you've been with. It's a painful experience. But that's the physical circumcision. You have to be detached from those things that have caused you to fall. You have to be detached from those things that have been turning your eyes away from God. Ask the person next to you, have you been circumcised physically?
Spiritually speaking, I don't get all crazy.
Now, the second kind of circumcision the Bible speaks of, the Bible speaks of a spiritual circumcision. Mm-mm-mm. This is where you get a spot in your life for a continuous HG, a continuous point of, a continuous filling. Spiritual circumcision. And a spiritual circumcision happens on the inside. Bible says that now the Word of God is a sword and it goes on the inside. And it starts to chop off those things. Those things that have made you not sensitive to God. It cuts those things off. And you see, when your heart is circumcised, the mark of God is the Spirit of God that is left upon your life. So if I ask you the question, where is the mark of God on your life? I'm simply asking, where is the Holy Spirit in full effect, in full operation in your life? For when God circumcises a person's heart, he leaves his mark, he leaves his spirit. If you take a look at the life of Abraham, Genesis chapter 17. When your heart is circumcised, when you're circumcised spiritually,
You have an encounter with God. Bible says that Abraham had an encounter with God. And God said to him, you're going to walk blameless before me. Says this. It said when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Abraham had an encounter with God. Those of us here today, we say to ourselves, we want to be spiritually circumcised. We have to have an encounter with God. And this encounter that we have with God is not just a one day experience, but it's an ongoing lifestyle. It's an ongoing thing. You're encountering God and your life will never ever be the same again. And God is declaring to you today, He's saying to you, walk before me and be blameless. Be blameless. See, you see, spiritually when you're circumcised, you have a new identity. You have a new name. The Bible says that Abraham at first, young people, Bible says that Abraham had a name. Yeah, the name was A-B-R-A-M, Abram, just like that, Abram. You know, his friends knew him as just Abram before he had an encounter with God. You know, some of us here today, our friends know us as certain things. Our friends know us as certain kind of people. Our friends have certain names for us. But the Bible says that when Abram had an encounter with God, God changed his name. From Abram to Abraham. That's what happens. That's what happens. When you're spiritually circumcised, you get a new identity. You got to change your name. There's a little tag that's added to the rest of your name. So and so, child of God. So and so, daughter of God. So and so, son, child of God. Amen. Amen. And when you're circumcised, you're spiritually circumcised, you become fruitful. Fruitful. Genesis chapter 17 says, it says, I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you and kings will come from you. Kings will come from you. Why? Because you're spiritually circumcised. Spiritual circumcision. Spiritual circumcision. You know the truth of the matter? Young people. Older young people. We all need to bear the mark of God. We all need to bear the mark of God upon our lives. So many times we say that we love God. We're living for God. We're committed to the ministry. We're committed to the things of God. But yet still the mark of God is not visible upon our lives. Because some of our hearts have not been changed. Some of our hearts have not been transformed. About 7 years ago, my cousin, she had a heart transplant. And I asked her some questions. I said, how did you know that you needed to get a heart transplant? She said, because sometimes she'll be walking and her body would just get so weak. She'll just get so tired that she couldn't help herself but just to lay down. She knew that she needed a new heart. Some of us here today, we know where our heart stands. We know where our heart is. We know there's some things in there that God wants to cut out. We know there's some things in there that God wants to take out so we can move even more in Him. We know that God wants to fill us with His Spirit. But yet still, we hold on to those things. Our eyes are closed, our heads are bowed in the presence of God. Where is the mark of God on your life? You know that brother, that sister, you know that person that needed to see the mark of God on your life, but for some odd reason, that mark was not visible. This morning, as your heads are bowed, I want you to just take a minute and just talk to your Creator, talk to your God. Father, we thank you. We thank you, God, that you are in the circumcising business. We thank you, God, that you're still in the filling business, Lord God. We thank you today, Lord God, that although there's some things upon our heart, there's some things in our hearts that's not like you, Father God. We thank you that you are the great physician that can come into our hearts and circumcise our hearts, God. That you can come into our hearts and cut out the very thing that's been preventing us from going all out for you, Lord God. You can come into our hearts and cut out that struggle. That way, that gossiping habit, Lord God. That cheating habit, Father God. You can come into our hearts and circumcise our hearts, Lord God. And we as a church this morning, we lay ourselves before you, before your altar. And we say to you, God, circumcise our hearts. Change us, Lord God. We want a new identity, Lord God. We want to be fruitful. We want to be fruitful in our walk with you, Lord God. God, we pray that these young people who are here today, Lord, that the yearning and the desire for you will never go cold. Father God, for circumcision will be an ongoing process in their life. That they will dedicate their hearts to you, Father God. Not just the parts that they want to, but all of their hearts, they were dedicated to you. God, we thank you. We bless you. We honor your name, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God say amen.
Amen.